Thank you. must not be minimized. Imports bring the trade. Imports contribute significantly to both quality and price competition with domestic production, and imports can have a great impact on inflation. In those cases where there are only a few domestic producers selling under conditions of oligopoly, it is essential to consumers' economic well-being that this decision be allowed by liberal import policy, recognizing the problems in fact right now in so many of our industries which have exceedingly difficult trying to indicate that there are powerful political forces contributing, which we have to reckon with. The real tragedy is that the mind of man ever created the idea of impediments to the free flow of goods, because it has never been created anyway to try to resolve the problems.
That's right. President, just a little less silence. It's cool. I want to raise a setting voice.
This is Jay Lane.
Oh.
increase over time.
I think it's the applicability should be at points of extreme price pressure rather than lower, as under the 90-day arrangement. There must be selectivity. Moreover, there must be visibility to consumers will know what the ceilings are.
Size of the baby room. increasing levels, or for that matter, savings levels. Some of the credit institutions have come into the picture. We recognize this as a force, and I was just raised the question whether the objectives of your program are being advanced when you have this indiscriminate
on the low rung of the
Mr. Stan, as a not kept up. If sometimes it's fortunate enough to be an industry which has a strong collective bargaining contract, but many consumers are not covered by strong collective bargaining contracts. And for those low-income consumers in there, they may be elderly, also living on fixed income, and busy people who should not have full-time employment or employment at the whole level. There, I think, I would like to see some thought given not only to what can be frozen as you move beyond the interface to
I'm
and the quality will become higher. We will begin to, well, hopefully, we will begin to get better quality of product, and at the same time, at a lower price. Then I would like, but, you know, just to hold that and move further into a thing that you have to deal with in terms of sanctions, in that you've already laid the foundation. Sanctions have got to be strong. I think we have the basic mechanism for sanctions right now. But what we've got to do is, I think, that the federal government as a whole is still on the rise, but business is done. I think that's how many from the consumer unions discussed it. And that's advertising.
just asking, what does this really mean for us, for the people in the community? If she would refer to the low-income community. She's going to want to know, well, how does this affect the price that they pay for the plumber? How does this affect the price on the buses that they have to ride? How about the prices of the used cars? Now, is this going to, are these going to be held in check about the price of food? What about the price of health care? I think we have to give people like her who represent, in a sense, the community that never really speaks out. The real answers here to prove that this is something that the consumer is involved in, and that the consumer is not going to be, as they say, caught outside the system, caught outside the benefits. Another lady who is 45 years old and has several children in college, and she's going to want to know what about the cost of education, and what about the fact that she's not working and her husband working to keep up. Is the consumer going to get behind in this freeze? And consumer going, like my husband, I have to work on Saturdays, and I have to go and continue to work my second job. These are the kinds of things that the consumer, I think, thinks about. And so it really comes down for them to the price. The emphasis then seems to me you have to start with the price. If you can hold the final price, then the prices there in wholesale manufacturing levels are not pressed. The consumer gets to the point where he feels that he's being protected, and later feels that it's not so bad now because we're not caught in a spiral. So the emphasis, I think, should be on the final price. Now, in order to make consumer spirit still hold, I think you have to have this participation. If you have to ask the consumer to do something that's realistic, you cannot ask the consumer to make a direct decision on an economic matter concerning interest rates or something of that sort. I think you should put consumers in prominent positions so that it's visible to all other consumers that the mechanism is indeed designed for the consumer's benefit. But at the same time, for all the other individual consumers who may want to volunteer and show their patriotism, so to speak, you've got to have ways for them to have input into the system. In other words, some kind of voluntary surveillance, I think, is the easiest thing for the consumer to get into.
On the price side.
On the price side. Now, one example came out. Our little consumer group gets phone calls, and two people called the same day saying the bread they'd been buying was now a 16-ounce loaf instead of a 20-ounce loaf. So we decided that might be a violation of the freeze, at least it sounded like it violated the spirit. And so we investigated it, and the group office told the company not to do this. And the mass media, picking up the spirit of voluntary effort here, put the name of the company on the front page in the headline. standpoint of enforcement, there is a resource that can be made available to the federal government. And that's all the consumer protection agencies and the various attorney general's offices throughout the state. Because many of the things, for example, these 16-pound loaf as opposed to 20-pound loaf, in addition to being a violation of free check of gas, in fact, it's a violation of various consumer protection laws. And we have gotten, in our office alone, any number of complaints which can be adjusted legally without any additional mechanisms. And I think if the FTC and Virginia and the Gail Gotch and those people together with my committee, we can probably put in the field immediately, in a sense, consumer protectionists, which can do this effective enforcement, not necessarily on the basis of an executive order, on what's already in the field to help additionally the IRS people. Also, I think, and I would just mention Secretary Conley, we have to leave, but Crawford Martin, who is
the... Yeah, the legal center to testify before the House Ways and Means
Prophet Martin, who is the Attorney General of Texas, and is the president of our association, very concerned in antitrust matters. I would think perhaps maybe for the next year to 18 months, the Eastern Clarence Department of Justice, together with the AGs of the states, could put an added emphasis on antitrust, figure local pricing arrangements, and probably just put a little additional pressure from the standpoint of competitiveness. Also, I would add a point that was made. PR is very important. The average consumer on the street, I think, at the current time, thinks what's being done is right. He believes that he knows something had to be done. I think we need to continue to educate him, perhaps in greater detail, as his feelings wear off and his intellect comes more into play. What's going to happen? I think that's a Madison Avenue type job that we shouldn't be sitting in. One of our areas of consumer protection is consumer information. I think in the area of the price wage control, consumer education would be very important.
I think there's another thing to be. You have to feel not only that something is being done, but it's working. And as time goes on, the most important thing that happens is the numbers. What happens if the thing works?
Wages, particularly in public sector where the money is there, where
money is budgeted, the money is taxed, is going to revert to the general fund, certainly perhaps that taxes, but from the standpoint of real inflationary impact, a lot of this money to, and I would include it all the way up to the $10,000 fund, and I leave that to the accountants. That level where the increase to most of these people is getting them just close to where they can be a consumer, not where they're really inflation. I think this kind of retroactivity would not have a debilitating impact on what's already been done. But I think some limited retroactivity, especially where people are just barely getting out of the poverty area, have maybe contracted based on what they thought was an honest deal they made in April and May, and are seriously hurting right now, would be important.
Thank you, Jeremy. Just so you don't think scary, or not efficient, we split our column areas of that. She's a member of our council. She's a general citizen for the Consumer Protection Society. And more important, she's going to speak about the 10 million women as chairman of the Consumer Affairs for the General Federation of Women's Clubs. Scary president, speaking for 10 million women. The overriding problem, as I hear it from women in all 50 states, is the high cost of food. And I realize this is a problem that is hard to cope with. We hear very often, well, why do they have land and land bank programs? It would cut the cost of our food to not have it. I would just like to emphasize that I feel like this is a very important part of the state's food system. Oh, I like women to be free citizens. Thank you.
competition between drugstores, and this has improved that situation. Constitutions have been mentioned, perhaps this might be a time saying this because most of my children's tuitions are behind me, so I feel like stays without adhering to the term teaching. I think perhaps reviving the Freeman Cup project and making part of the Constitution tax deductible might be a way of softening the blow of increased tuitions in spite of the freeze.
Program that comes out that
a decision will have to be made that cost, and the cost of that decision should be shared evenly. Concessions and cooperation will be needed from labor, industry, and consumers. I know it's impossible to look at the situation from one side only, from one sector, and to consider wages and salaries. A permanent board could set guidelines for wages increase linked to productive achievement. But this alternative has the limitation to penalize some sectors because sometimes productivity cannot be measured. For example, we can measure here the professors and some other sectors and they may be penalized. So I would be considering the cost of the index as a guideline.
Just
the source of supply and national problem from the standpoint of trafficking, the national standpoint, for that matter, from the standpoint of the treatment of those who are involved in law enforcement and so forth. It's an area where international organizations have expressed interest in the United Nations. And this group, which is particularly particular interest, and it's an area also where we have been very gratified with the cooperation we have had with so many of your governments. The rather landmark decision was made to the Turkish government, where it required their prime minister and their government to take an action that politically is perhaps somewhat hazardous, to us is most gratifying. In the case of each country here, each of you has an interest which is perhaps different in some ways, but common in other ways, and common in the sense of our total objective of dealing with this problem effectively. And I wish to assure you that we can, and I have directed all the people in our government to cooperate with you in the activities which you determine are useful to deal with this problem. Secretary of State, of course, is chairman of the cabinet committee. And that indicates the priority we give to this, the cabinet committee, dealing with the problem on the international front. And we, of course, have a special White House advisor in this area. And we, I would say that on the domestic front, except for the obvious problems of the economy, which every nation must put first, this is probably our number one concern. It's our number one concern because it's a growing problem. It's a problem that we used to be able to sort of put aside and say, well, that's a problem of the ghettos, it's a problem of the poor, et cetera. Now it's the problem of the whole society. Under these circumstances, as we look at the history of civilizations too, we see certainly pretty good evidence of the fact that once a nation starts down this road and goes beyond the point of no return of becoming basically the Dutch society rather than the other, that nation is not making one that will maintain its vitality and strength. Its ability to live up to its capabilities. So, with all this in mind, we'll leave you now for a discussion you'd like to have with the experts. I don't pretend to be an expert in this area. Thank you.